in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Here ends the reading.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone, and it's great that you can all be here this Sunday morning. And if you're new here for the very first time, special welcome. If you're a regular come back, also a great welcome here. If this is your first time at church, a special welcome. We hope that what you hear today and in subsequent weeks will be not only enlightening, but also transforming. Well, my name's Ying, so I've been the English pastor here for many years, so it's a great joy to be able to speak to you. Well, over this week, next 2 weeks, we'll look at this thing, the sign of the time, the sign of the time. And I have to say that the other day, I got a sign. I got a big sign. As you know, I love my flying, my flight simulator. I fly all around the world. And the other day, I got a sign, because my flight simulator was constantly crashing. And I say, what is going on here? What is this telling me? Is it a sign that I need to upgrade my computer, Ivy? I think I might need to upgrade my computer to get an M5 Mac Mini. Or is it a sign of something else? What it was a sign? See, the truth of the matter is that we are surrounded by signs. Signs are an important way of understanding, in some sense, that something is going wrong. There may be a sign that the relationship's not working out. We're not talking as much. We're not spending as much time. We seem to argue more. There's a sign there that something is not right. Or the other day, you have a sign that there's pains. The other day, I was trying to do my sort of exercise, my pain in my knees. There's a sign there that things are not going well. Maybe there's a sign of this, that the place is leaking. It's a sign of something. Or maybe there's a sign that I need to actually start rethinking about work. The truth of the matter is that signs are all around us. All around us. And if a sign is an opportunity or a call for us to stop and think. What is the sign around you at the moment? What things happening around you that's telling you to stop and think? Is it your relationship? Is it your work? Is it your building? Is it your body? What is the sign that you are seeing before you? But here's the thing about signs. Signs can be confusing, can't they? A sign, you don't know what to do with it. Is it good or bad? When I saw the sign that my flight simulator was crashed, when I see, what are you supposed to do? You know what you do? You go and ask. Is our relationship okay, or have I done something wrong? When you start to feel pains in your body, there's a sign there. So what do? You seek a doctor, and you ask the doctor, what's my problem? When work is not going well, what do you need to do? You ask the manager, what have I done wrong? Signs are an important part of life. But at the same time, signs can be confusing. And there's a sign when you think about the world. Because when you look at what's going on in the world with all recent events, it highlights the fact that something is not right with this world. The instability, the fuel crisis, the breaking down of relationships, breaking down of families, economic instability, homelessness, house prices, and so on like that. The world is not right. The signs are all around us. But they are confusing at best, aren't they? What do you do with them? Who do you ask for answers? And so invariably we will go to our scientists, to our intellectuals. They might be politicians, they might be scientists, they might be philosophers, they might be academics. We're always going to others to look for answers and clarity to the signs that we see before us. But here's the big question. When you ask people, everyone comes in with different answers. This is the problem. And others say, no, that is not the problem. This is the problem. And then others will tell you, no, you're all wrong. This is the problem. And what you hear is a cacophony of noise that everyone's telling you different things. We all see the signs, but everyone's confused. What does it all mean? Well, that's where we want to look at this short passage from the book of Hebrews. Now, if you're not a Bible reader, if the Bible's a very strange book, just a quick introduction. The book of Hebrews, written a letter, written to a group of Christians who are having second thoughts about Christianity. And they're having second thoughts about Jesus. So this letter was written to deal with their questions and give them certainty that what they believe about Christianity, what they believe about Jesus is legit, and so therefore hang into it. So that's why this letter was written, and it's a great letter to read. So let's dive into and what it says. And I want you to notice what it says in the beginning, in the passage that we read. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. But I want you to notice a key word in this section. And what is the key word? Speaking. See that? In verse 1, God spoke. In verse 2, God has spoken. You see, how do you know anything? How do you make sense of the signs? You need someone to tell you what it all means. Words are important. We can do all sorts of experiments we can do. We can look at things under a microscope. But we need someone, don't we, to interpret it for us. You need words to explain it. Someone to speak to us. What does it all mean? You go to the doctors and they get an x-ray. You look at the x-ray, it's all gobbledygook. But you ask the doctor, what does it all mean? And the doctor explains it. You have confusion, you have problems with the relationship, and you're guessing in your mind, what did I do wrong? You need to go and ask the person, what did I do wrong? Maybe you did nothing wrong. You need clarity in someone to speak. This is why words are important. And here's the thing. Christianity, the passage tells us that God has spoken. God has spoken. Let that just sit with you for a moment. God has spoken. In other words, God is explaining the signs that you see around you. He's explaining about the sign of this particular time. What is going on? What is good? What is wrong? He has given us the word. And that's an important thing to understand, that Christianity is all about words. And when we say about words, we're not talking about just dry, intellectual, abstract, impractical, irrelevant words. We're talking about words where God is speaking to us to help us understand what is going on. And words are important because we believe in a God who actually speaks. Speaks. Let that sit with you. Not about dreams and experience and emotions and feelings. They might be true, they might be there, but even then, there might be signs, but you've got to still work out what they all mean. No, we believe in a God who has spoken, and in speaking, he gives clarity and understanding. The passage tells us that God has spoken. Well, that may be the case, but here's the most obvious question. I haven't heard him speak. I'm listening, but he hasn't said anything. It's just dead silence. And so that raises the question, where has God spoken? Where has God spoken? And that's an equally important truth. Not only the fact that God has spoken, where has he spoken? Now, I don't know if this is your experience, but it's certainly my experience. When you get a message, my biggest problem is, where did the message go? I remember one time when someone told me, he sent a message to me, and I must have spent about 30 minutes trying to work out where it went. Did it go through Messenger? Did it come through my Facebook? Did it go through WhatsApp or email? Did he send through LinkedIn or Line, or was it on Twitter, or was it a Slack account? And when they sent an email, I couldn't work out which email account. Was it that one, or was it a deactivated? And when it went to email, did it go to my spam account, which spam account? Or went to Messenger, which one, and even WhatsApp group? Which group did it go in, and so on and so forth? Is that your experience? Because certainly that was mine. This is the problem. It's one thing to say, I sent a message, but the other question is, where did you send it to? So, look at what this tells us here. It says, God has spoken. That's clear, okay? That's what the passage is saying. Where has he spoken? Well, look at what it says here. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors, notice what it says, through the prophets. Through the prophets. And a few things I want you to take note of. Firstly, he's spoken through the prophets. In other words, he's spoken through his appointed messengers. You can read all about them in the Old Testament, in the old first half of the Bible. We call it the Old Testament, right? But it says here, he spoke through the prophets. But I want you to know the second thing, right? He spoke through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And when you read through the Old Testament, you can see accounts of how God spoke. He spoke in a dream. He spoke in a wind. He spoke through an ass, a donkey. He spoke through other people. He spoke in different, many and different ways. He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke in a stormy cloud, many different ways. That was how God spoke in the past. And notice here, it was in the past. This is how God used to do it. That is, he spoke in many, many ways. But notice what he also says here, but things are different. Because notice what it says here. But in these last days. In the last days. And the word last days is speaking, simply talking about this last, the last final chapter of human history. God has chosen to speak very, very differently. He's chosen, in the last days, you could say that he's now chosen his final channel of communication. I don't know, maybe many of you young people might not know, but many as old people. Remember the old days of when we wanted to ring overseas? Who remembers those days when we had to ring overseas? You had to make appointments. You remember them? Lorraine shaking her head. How much did it cost to make an overseas telephone call, Lorraine? I think it was about $20. You had to make an appointment, and about 3 minutes you had to talk to the person, and you had the whole family trying 3 minutes for about $20 or £20 or what it was to make an to say something, and you had to work out scripted. That's how it used to be done in those days. It was crazy. And what you see there, well, that's Alexander Bell, but it felt like that. But these days, what's it like? You just pick up the phone and you can ring up anyone, anytime, everywhere. I remember one time we had dinner time. Ivy and I just chatted and went free. Hey, let's ring up Sarah and Zenith in Taiwan. Ring up, how are you going? We're just having a chin wag and talking over the phone. And so that's great. See you later. And then another time, Carolyn and Paula, they were traveling in Japan. Say, hey, look, we've got nothing to do. Let's just ring up and say g'day. Rang up Carolyn, Paula, what are you doing? We're in a Japanese restaurant. Bang, bang, bang. That's how you do it these days. The channels of communication have changed from past to now. And that is what God is saying here, this passage. In these last days, God has changed his method of communication. And the very fact he used the word last day means that this is a much better way in which God is choosing to communicate. Well, that raises the question. How so? By his son. That is how he's communicating to us now. That is how he speaks to us, by his son. In other words, if you want to hear God's message loud and clear, if you want to hear what God is saying about all the signs that you see around us, what's he saying? His message is now loud and clear through the one communication channel that he thinks is superior, better, clearer, and that is through his son. If you want to listen to what God has to say, you go to his son. If you want to listen to understand how God is thinking about things, you go to Jesus. You don't go to any other channel, because God has said in these last days, this is my channel of communication through my son. If you're looking anywhere else, you're going to completely miss it. You go to Jesus, you'll hear it loud and clear. Well, that raises the question. The best channel of communication. Listen to what it says. He is the heir of all things. He's not merely an enlightened person like Gautama or Buddha. He is the one who owns all things. Notice what else it says. Through him, he made the universe. He sustains all things by his powerful word. That is, he's the creator and the sustainer of all things. What is it that holds the universe together? You know what it is that holds the universe together? It is Jesus' words that holds the whole universe together and keeps it ticking over like clockwork. And look at what else it says. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. You know, one of the things that Christians were accused of was being atheists. Not because they didn't believe in God, but because they had no idols. Why is that Christianity so against idols? Because any idol is never a perfect representation of God. But what's this passage saying? This same passage is saying, this Jesus, notice what it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Everything you want to know about God is in Jesus. Everything you want to understand about God is in Jesus. Everything you want to see about God is Jesus, because he is the glory of God and the exact representation of his being. It's quite astonishing. But even more so than that, look at this. This. He has provided purification for sin. That is to say that Jesus is not just a communication channel. He's the one who fixes all things. He deals with our brokenness. He deals with our ugliness. He deals with our darkness. He deals with our sins. And notice what else it says. He deals with it completely, perfectly, and efficiently. He sat down the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And the sitting down carries this idea that he's completed his job. And you think about it. In the history of the world, people are always trying to cleanse themselves, get them right. In the Hindu rhythm, they go to the Ganges River, constantly clean themselves of their uncleanness, which is ironic because the Ganges River is one of the most polluted rivers in the world, and yet they go there to cleanse themselves of the sins. People go on pilgrimages. People go to the prayer walls and say their prayers. People will actually say their prayers and so on and so forth. This constant rhythm of doing more and more, cleanse themselves of their sins. But what does the passage say? After he's provided purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And for this, what does it tell us? He's become superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to them. That is, Jesus stands heads and shoulders over everything and anyone else. He is God's final channel. You know, you think about it. Who do you turn to try and understand the signs of the time? Who do you turn to? We will turn to our Einstein, our Hawkins, our Dawkins and so on like that to understand. But the Bible tells us that God has spoken to us in the most perfect way, the most infinite way, and that is through his Son. You know, when you look at the sign of the times, right, signs are important because they tell us, they warn us, they show us some things, but there's confusion. The Bible tells us there is one sign, and that is Jesus. But here's the funny thing. It's not a sign that has confusion. It's a word sign. Because God says that he's spoken to us through Jesus. You want to understand the world? You want to understand what's going on? Then go to the sign that God has sent to us. The word sign. That is Jesus. Because through Jesus, God speaks loud and clear to us. The sign of the times. God has given us his final sign in the word of the Son. Next week, we want to explore that further. I'm going to ask Dan here to give us a teaser for next week's message. What are you going to talk about next week, Dan? You got there.
Thanks, Ying. First of all, that was super compelling. Thank you for taking us through that passage. I hope to build on what our Reverend Ying's taken us through and go deeper to explain how and why Jesus is the final sign. So I read a long time ago somewhere that every compelling, they call it a grand narrative, like every compelling explanation for all of life and its meaning has to have three ingredients. Mm-hmm. So an origin myth, where do we come from? Good and evil, so an explanation for what is good and where evil came from. Process, what's happening now. And final destination, final fate. And so I hope to take us through that in a different Bible passage, Colossians 1, mm-hmm. and how Jesus answers all of those things for us.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot. And you notice the theme next week is the last call. So this today was the final sign. What do you do with it? You go with the call, you hear the call, and you are to respond to it, right? So today, if you've seen the sign, if you see the signs of the time, what does it all mean? You go to Jesus. He is the one who explains what it's all about. Now, if you're a new believer here who's never really thought much about it, we don't want you to stop here. There are books at the back. We want you to go and look at those books and even buy them or borrow them or take them because we want you to understand what God is saying to the world. And Matt talked about this investigating Christianity. If you want to understand more about Jesus, what God through his Son, then join up for investigating Christianity. Or even afterwards, just come and talk to myself, Dan, or Winston, one of the other pastors here, and help to understand what is God saying through his Son about this world. At the end of the day, there are signs all around us. God has spoken to us with clarity and loudly through his Son, who is the heir of all things, the exact, the glory, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation has been purifying all things and holding all things by his word. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we live in a world where there's so many signs that are confusing. We don't know whether we are to read them well or read them badly. We don't know whether they're good or bad. We don't know what to do with them. We have so many voices in this world telling us one thing or another. We have our own brains that tell us one thing or another. But Father, you tell us that you have spoken to this world. And in speaking, you have told the world what it's all about. Father, you've spoken to us through your Son, who is the final sign. He is the last word. Father, we pray that we would come to Jesus to hear what you have to say to us. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.